This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you. OK, the weather today, highs of 11 degrees centigrade, lows of 9 degrees centigrade. It's going to be rather cloudy with occasional spells of rain. How well, life continues. That's the important thing. Meanwhile,
keeping up to date with Beady the Wonder Horse, Dudley, Lola, Angel, Buster, Tarka, Misty, Jess, Fizzburn and other animals on their tour of the countryside, it's Minty Steed on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yay! As previous weeks, obviously, we've been speaking to Eve Thomas from over in Wales. She's now on her global cruise for the month of March. So Minty, rightly so, is back with us. So Minty, a weekend of success and triumph as far as the canines were concerned, or was it just a case of business as usual?
Oh, well, mixture of all sorts, really. First of all, of course, all our power's on. Oh, yeah, I know. Galloping around for a generator, and we found one in Pintuit, York, after searching endlessly. Heading off with it, complete with dogs, to then go up to Catterick. Getting halfway, I unfortunately taken rather ill. We had to turn around back the other way, and over to Jim to set off the generator, get it plugged in, and then up and running. And at last, hooray for that, we had some power back. So set off again on the Sunday. Now, we must have to miss Thoresby with mine not being so well on the Saturday, which is a great shame because, you see, we specialise in wet, windy, rainy days where things are horrendously muddy, etc. We do specialise in that sort of thing. We've seen survivors of them. And, of course, the weather wasn't exactly good on the Sunday after the bad magnificent weather on Saturday. Nevertheless, off we went up to Catterick Garrison. We went to, I believe the correct title is the Richmond Riding Establishment. The indoor arena has been booked for the agility dogs. And it was absolutely marvellous. We had a great time. Chris Hare ran it. Snap had a tremendous moment of glory, and for anyone who doesn't know Snap, she is 24 years old, probably the oldest dog in the world, and she took part in the veterans' agility of a very, very minor pulse, except, of course, allowing for a dog's ages. And she was accompanied round by Chris Hare, who runs it, and two of the people who set out the courses. And she did the whole thing, including the tunnels and over the little ramp. And she received a magnificent rosette, the triple F, one of the largest rosettes I've ever won, and a lovely trophy. And she was very pleased with herself. And she was aware of everyone clapping and everybody applauding as she went round because she became quite the hit of the day.
That's 168 years, of course, in terms of human terms.
Yes,
24 canine years, multiplied by 7, 168. Oh, which is not bad, really. Yes.
It isn't bad, is it? And what they did was two of them took her round that were all taking part, you know, in the agility people in charge of it. And so if she wanted to hop over it, she did. And if she didn't, she just stood there and they lifted her up. You know, that was the way she went. And she absolutely loved it. And I think probably now she thinks she's the best that's ever been. We were also able to go into the restaurant area, no banning of dogs there, and we were able to watch the rest of it, the others going round, which she took a keen interest in. We took the Patterdale puppies, who are now going to be their first year of showing this year. They were incredibly keen about the idea, apart from for 1 minute Winston thought, oh, this is big. Oh, this is, oh, no, I don't like this. And then he decided he did like it. So we think we can do quite well with agility this year. In varying forms, of course. We're not aiming for the big courses, but we'll see how we do with the novice and the start and the beginners and the veterans.
It'll be fantastic. Last night, of course, we were focusing on the Cats Protection League and looking at the Feline Oscars, which you can, of course, nominate your favourite Moggies. It's in the seventh year of the Feline Oscars. But even more exciting than that is, of course, the fact that we have now committed the station. And I think this might even be news to you yourself, Rachel, that for Louis Savvy's Sci-Fi London event on May the 4th, we will be entering some terriers dressed as superheroes or indeed science fiction characters.
That's exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Rachel, any ideas in terms of what the doggy should get dressed up as? I mean, they're there, they're keen. You know, what sort of, are we looking at characters of Fringe? You know, how would you actually sort of develop this?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Immediately thought of superheroes. Didn't think of other things.
Yes. Can be science fiction characters in all sorts of ways. I think presumably Patchwork Pooch, Minty, will actually be on the case. We'll get lots of wonderful costumes for that.
Oh, most certainly. And, of course, Pat and Buster are the best of friends, you know.
A bit like Batman and Robin.
Absolutely. The Batman and Robin, because truly, you know, yes, they are very good friends indeed. And... And they can definitely go as Batman and Robin, you know.
Mm. Yeah, well, there we are, you see.
We are debating, of course, for Toffee being, because he's very much, everyone calls him the Errol Flynn of the Terrier world, you know. But we're thinking either Errol Flynn is sort of Robin Hood, you know, or alternatively maybe do him up as James Bond with a couple of villains with him.
Yeah, I think that could be a possibility. Odd Job and Blofeld, perhaps.
Absolutely. We have the dogs for that, definitely. And then we are going to work on Snap and make a character that I think perhaps Doctor Who will like because of the appearance, which you have seen, or haven't you, Alex? Where she's black all over, a few scattered white hairs here and there, but all round her face, she has the markings of a panda in reverse. So instead of black round the eyes, she's white and grey around the eyes, and she has very heavy eyebrows, huge bushy eyebrows, which are white. So I'm sure we can make up a character costume to go on her, you know.
It'll be a whole new experience.
We look forward to hopefully connecting with that.
The registration forms will be on sci-fi-london.co.uk, and they'll be sort of coming out shortly. I know Louie's very excited about that. Rachel, I don't know if you've ever encountered the East of England show, which takes place, I think, March. It's actually not the East of England show. It's at the East of England Showground. There's an event on the 29th and 30th of March. What's happening there, Minty?
It's one of the Robin Hood events. And there'll be all the usual things that the game fairs and country fairs have, but with the addition of a great many items for dogs, there'll be ferreting, and there may possibly be, I'm not sure if it's sticking just purely with the heritage, but there may be beagle racing as well, which will put a whole new steer on racing, won't it? But we have our hidden team ready to go. We may be ready for Cambridge, for the East of England Showground. I hope we are, which is at Peterborough, Cambridge area. And now it's great fun. Last year the weather was appalling, but this year I'm sure the weather will be better. And I think everyone, even if you've always lived in a town and you don't think the person is the countryside, if you're anywhere within reason of travel, do go to it, because there's endless amounts of shopping arcades, there's loads of good food, and there's something to please everyone, and lots of have-a-go things, like have-a-go archery, have-a-go at fly fishing, all that sort of thing. You can really enjoy yourself and go and just see what it's like. It's well worth the journey.
We will hopefully look to check out a couple of those bits and pieces. Of course, at present it seems that the entire population of the city of Lincoln has gone down with sniffles, because in the studio, Rachel and myself are kind of sharing very, well, actually not sure, we've got our own sort of selection of tissues that we're kind of working our way through that. But still, never mind. Positivity will work through, and we maintain our standards to entertain at all costs. Rachel,
absolutely.
Would you like to bowl those last two questions to Minty Steed, please?
I can indeed. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, most certainly.
Oh, good. And we look forward to connecting with you again next week.
Yes, and just one brief extra is my apologies to all those down at Thoresby Game Fair. We just couldn't get down due to the circumstances. And number two is we shall be at Charm Park on Sunday, so work it like point to point in. I'm sure you won't take too much difficulty in finding us there.
Well, there we are. That's Charm Park.
And Bella and everyone at the Agility on Sunday, they made us most welcome. Bella Raz, Parf and Jack Russell, and to Chris Hare and all the team, it was marvellous, and we're going to join in as many of them as we can.
Excellent. Well, there we are. And the point-to-point is taking place, Sean Park, which is where exactly in the country?
Near Scarborough.
Well, there we are. Right. So make your way to Scarborough and check out a little bit of point-to-point.
It's well-marked in any direction for Scarborough.
Splendid. This is all good stuff. Okay, more from Minty Steed, as I say, next week. Now, new music.
Criticism to royalty, from South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM, it's Richard Fitzwilliams.
Yes, obviously a gentleman who can always be guaranteed to deal with the gravity of the situation in every sense of the word. Welcome back, Richard.
Yes, I'm glad you bring gravity into it. Indeed, looking at the Oscars, obviously we must give all the 7 Oscars it received a nod, because it was an extraordinary film.
And obviously, 12 Years a Slave finally managed to actually do various other things from that. But for the first time since, I believe, The Colour Purple, so many nominations, not a single iota of success for American Hustle, despite Amy Adams and Jennifer Lawrence, diddly squat all round. Shocker.
And the reason for that, and, you know, we have discussed this, I mean, I did fear, because 12 Years a Slave, I thought, was a masterpiece, and I thought it was a powerful work, and I think there was absolutely no question it deserved to win. But the idea that American Hustle would have been some form of easy option for voters who found 12 Years too violent, the reason I thought that this was a possibility was because it had won several important awards, including the Screen Actors Guild Award, New York Critics Awards, and you had this David O. Russell, the interest in him as a director. He's a remarkable director. The Fighter, surely, and Silver Linings Playbook last year, but in American Hustle was good fun. And if I hadn't realized all the hype I'd have gone in, enjoyed it, wandered out and forgotten it, Jennifer Lawrence was very good in it. But Lupita Nyong'o surely deserved precisely what she'd gotten. Her speech was a very good mix of someone making serious points, but also someone who is tremendously emotional in winning the Oscar. This is the thing, it's so easy to laugh at those in past years who've broken down and been very tearful, but the pressure when you are in fact participating and you're actually a winner, and this is the most prestigious film ceremony in the world, it's tremendous.
So Rachel, did you catch the Academy Awards this year?
I didn't catch much of it, but I heard a lot about it. I heard that Jennifer Lawrence fell over. Again, apparently.
Apparently outside. Yep. The yes,
and of course Leo didn't get an Oscar again.
No, but there's another problem.
Last week,
I know,
had you been on the show, I was consistently saying to Gabriella Peralta, don't even build your hopes up. It's not going to happen. You know, it's just not. Quite simply, it was always going to be Matthew McConaughey, so it's pointless, you know. It's just one of those things.
But the standard of work was so high. If they'd had more awards, they'd have given them out. It's unfortunate, and it is one of those things. And his performance was absolutely amazing, I agree. The troll is, I mean, Matthew McConaughey, he was not as superb as an HIV/AIDS sufferer in Dallas Buyers Club, but also he's got the true detective success behind him on television. And he was in The Wolf of Wall Street, in a memorable scene, extremely good. And Chiwetel Ejiofor, superb, powerful performance. But it wasn't showy, because had he attempted in any sense to let his masters in the terrible living hell of slavery know that he was a free man, and if Edwin Epps, played by Michael Fassbender, had known it, I mean, he would have been dead. It's about survival. So it's a totally different sort of role. You had Bruce Dern in Nebraska as this cantankerous old alcoholic curmudgeon. I mean, very, very good performances. Christian Bale, well, I mean, it should have been Tom Hanks as in Captain Phillips who was nominated. But there you had American Hustle. But as you mentioned, The Colour Purple, 0 out of 11. I mean, this is 0 out of 10. That's precisely what it deserves. Since you had...
Now, steady on, Richard. As I say, just hold fire, though. It's bad enough we had Sir Alex Ferguson turning up at the ceremony. And indeed, with respect to the Phil Leonis Dean Hagland overview. If you look at a real outstanding movie, surely it has to be Gravity in terms of the movie-making craft. 12 Years a Slave, well, it was all right. You know, that's all I say.
Well, I mean, regarding the craft, I totally agree. And seeing, and we saw it with the BAFTAs, the way, and this was, of course, a slimmed-down Oscars, because when the ceremony tipped 4 hours, they decided to shorten it. And it was very, very slick and very well done. But when we see how Gravity was made, I totally agree, it was a unique experience. And I felt that at the time. I've subsequently seen it a second time. I did have one point. Sandra Bullock, a very good year for her. I look at Heat, I roared with laughter at that. I mean, that was wonderful. Then you see the versatility. It was a very, very fine performance indeed. But there was an element where I felt that we could have known a bit more about the two characters played by her and Clooney, and I would have felt more involved in her plight had I so known. So there is that element to it. Regarding 12 years, I mean, I think it was a completely unique take on slavery. We hadn't seen a film like that. It was a difficult film to come to terms with. It made me flinch watching it on several occasions. I shall never look at a cypress tree the same way again, but a movie that had a documentary force behind it was a very faithful adaptation of Solomon Northup's autobiography, and I was tremendously impressed with it. Gravity, indeed, an absolutely marvelous film.
Yeah.
But remember Philomena, remember Nebraska, remember The Wolf.
Listen, I celebrated Sunday by going to see a double bill of RoboCop and The Book Thief. Both outstanding in their own unique ways.
Book Thief, outstanding. You're in a minority.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but I think Sophie and Lise actually nailed the character. I thought Geoffrey Rush was superb, and so indeed was...
Well, so,
yeah, you see, so it worked. I mean, I can believe people coming out saying, oh, it was too clean. Yeah, I don't think so. It was seen from a perspective of a child. Anyway, enough of such stuff.
It's an interesting debate because the elements that were appealing, the fact that it was an unusual movie and that Sophie Nellis was absolutely excellent, I agree. But so many of the scenes did feel rather contrived. The accents, for example, they spoke in English but said nine, and certain elements in it.
That's exactly what they do in the book, Richard. That's the whole thing. They were just a faithful adaptation of the whole thing. You know, you mix and match.
To have death as a narrator. I know Roger Allerman. No one is a great admirer.
Yes.
But I didn't feel a lot of it worked. And if you look at the mixed response, it's fascinating because the critics were split 50-50. It's very intriguing when that happened.
I thought it was very good.
Before we leave the Oscars, may I mention that I thought the ceremony was very successful because you had Ellen DeGeneres very, very entertaining.
But she was taking selfies, for goodness sakes. I mean, you know.
Take selfies now.
Selfie. Bradley Cooper actually took the selfie that went around the world, and I mean, that was amazing. And the reason they were so relaxed with a bit of fun with dancing and pizzas and the like was the quality of work was what it was. You had wit, which showed you didn't need Seth MacFarlane making silly cracks, which we'd had the previous year, which was rather heavy and pretentious, and a song which caused offence. The point was that you had someone who was entertaining, you had someone who was witty, you had tremendously high standard of work, and you had an evening that rolled along with...
If I may point you in the direction of chillpackhollywood.com, it's only 80 minutes because what Phil and Dean Haglund have actually put together there is their own take on the Oscars with their usual routine. It's an edited version. I think you'll find their own take, as indeed citizens of West Coast California and filmmakers themselves. I think you'll find it quite interesting. But I shall say no more. Anyway, moving on from that particular point of view, can we actually sort of say that's it for the Oscars for 2014? I mean, we had the feline Oscars last week, or in fact last night, and we're looking ahead to that, obviously, in the latter part of the year. It's the seventh year of the feline Brits or Oscars, so that's always something to look forward to. Lots of cats in the Savoy. Well, actually, they don't go to the Savoy. They actually send videos, but still, that's another line entirely. What else would you like to share with us today, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Well, several things, in fact. I'm promoting tonight the Ancient Festival of Nowruz, which celebrates the arrival of spring. It's been observed and honored for millennia by Afghans and Georgians, Iraqis, Kurds, Persians, Russians, Tajiks, Turks.
The ancient festival of
Nowruz. Yes.
Is this what we needed to sort out that problems we're having with the Crimea and Vlad and the lad, etc.?
Well, we've got a celebration of it at the Institute of Directors tonight, and I'm looking forward to that because it looks like it's going to be a very important cultural event. So I just thought I'd mention...
Did you realise that, Rachel, that it was the celebration of the Festival of Nowruz?
I did not realise that, no.
Oh, that's something you can drop into the conversation later on
today.
Yes, well, there you have it.
Can we actually wish people a happy Nowruz Day, then? Will that be...
Well, why not? Why not? You could... it isn't perhaps that widely known in Britain, but 17 embassies will be taking part. There'll be over 200 guests, and it'll be a very fine black tie festival. So that is something that I'm looking forward to tonight.
Absolutely. Indeed. Well, we certainly look forward to obviously getting a flavour of various other bits and pieces from that perspective onwards.
But less successful, in my view, we have 300 Rise of an Empire. Now, this is something I must admit I was looking forward to a very great deal, simply because we had, as you remember, or remember reading, obviously, so many swords and sandals epics in the 1960s. And then the genre went dead after the fall of the Roman Empire, and subsequently was revived with Gladiator. And then after the catastrophes, the words almost foaming when we come to Alexander, Troy was awful too.
But they had Brad Pitt in there, for goodness sakes.
Yes, I know, and we had a script and direction by Wolfgang Petersen.
Exactly, after you know, yes, what's not to appreciate?
Well, a very great deal. It was an absolutely abysmal load of twaddle. Peter O'Toole walked after the premiere, and well, he might see himself as King Priam wasted again opposite Pitt, who was miscast, a very fine actor. Saw him in 12 Years in Babel and films of the sort, but Troy was awful. What's brought the Swords and Sandals epic to a tremendous level of popularity was a cartoon-like movie which recreated the Battle of Thermopylae, where 300 Spartans held up the gigantic Persian army of Xerxes very successfully until they were betrayed. And it was a really impressive, interesting and imaginative movie. This is both the prequel and the sequel. So
but it's got Eva Green in it.
And she plays a woman driven mad by revenge as the head of the Persian fleet. Mm. And I have to say that Casino Royale, I liked her. Ridley Scott.
Franklin, of course.
There's no question that she's... Well, I mean, she overacts in my view here. I mean, Kingdom of Heaven, most of her role was cut. She can be good, but more often in some movies I've seen, she's not been well cast. And I got very tired of her. This is a movie which has got so much fighting, so much blood splashing across the 3D screen, so much noise that, well, I mean, there's one thing when you take the Battle of Marathon, which it begins with, which is the defeat of Darius, a Persian ruler, and subsequently Xerxes invades Greece, and Sparta and Athens, which are different states, are joined together. Well, I haven't...
You can't see it being an Academy Award winner next year, is what you're trying to say, Richard.
What I'm trying to say is I didn't know any Australians there at the time. Oh, Sullivan dear. Stapleton is a muscle man as Themistocles, and he's an Australian actor, and frankly sounds absolutely silly. I mean, this sort of epic or reproduction of a historical event done in the style reminiscent of a cartoon. So much blood, so much noise, such loud music, and one very silly sex scene. But nonetheless, some naval battle sequences, which... Well, I mean, some of them are very impressively filmed, but it does go on and on and on. And when you've had all that blood splashing across the place, the way they hack each other to bits...
You see, that would have probably made the Oscars a little bit more kind of update, not a beat if they'd had a bit of dismemberment and decapitation on stage. But
well, there was so much of it, you see. I mean, it's the fondness of Artemisia, played by... the beloved Eva Green, who he likes picking up severed heads and giving him a kiss, as far as I can see. Yeah. I mean, it's the god king. This is Xerxes, played by Rodrigo Santoro, and they're very spectacular visuals when he declares war. I mean, some of the movies got tremendous potential. The problem is, it just goes on and on and on. And the sea fights, which should be exciting, remember... Charlton Heston was Ben-Hur rescuing Quintus Arius, played by Jack Hawkins. I mean, the Ben-Hur galley battle and the Cleopatra galley battle, one was 10 minutes and the other was 20. These were rather fine set pieces, whereas, I mean, here you've got three sea battles, and you've almost got a suicide squad, which shows that if you shoot flaming arrows at those who are approaching the Greek fleet and set them alight with the tar and pitch. I mean, this is quite an impressive sequence.
Rachel Warren, have you seen 300? Are you a sword and sorcery fan, or indeed a sword and sandal fan? And is this the sort of area that you'd be looking for?
300, is that the one with Gerard Butler in?
Yes.
I have seen it.
Originally, yes.
I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, so you're unlikely to be going to see the sequel, I would have thought.
I probably won't, no.
Well, not after the last review we've just heard, so.
Yeah.
If you didn't like 300, I must say, I found a lot to enjoy in it. I mean, it made a fortune, and Zack Snyder directed, but he doesn't direct this. He's directed by Noam Murrow, whoever he might be, but from a screenplay by Snyder. The point is, the script's a load of old nonsense. Isn't that I'd expect historical accuracy from a movie of the sort, but the problem is it must be entertaining. 300 was extremely entertaining. It was a unique way of filming a historical episode, historical event, and this, so much noise. A little subtlety here, a little...
Sound and fury signifying nothing there?
I think that's an excellent quote.
There we are.
But then what happens when we get under the skin? And this is a movie by Jonathan Glazer. I'd long to see a movie by him because, of course, Sexy Beast. Once you've seen that, it's a movie that is indelibly etched into your memory, as is the performance by Ben Kingsley.
What, not Ray Winstone?
And Ray Winstone.
There we
but
are.
Kingsley particularly.
It's nice to see he actually use that as a sort of tribute and a guidelines to what he does now, which is advertise betting shops in the middle of football games. It's fair enough. Sort it.
I have to say that Scarlett Johansson, you have to be told before you see the film, because if you see the film and you don't...
Well, she wears a wig.
Well,
And she changes her appearance because it's effectively all about an alien thing and it's hardcore science fiction, so obviously it's not her, Scarlett Johansson, as the girl in the pearl earring, or indeed Black Widow.
And you have very correctly informed listeners who may be viewers, depending on whether or not...
No, the webcam isn't on today, Richard, so we're okay.
No, but the reason we're okay is that they now know, which I should have known and didn't know because I never read anything that would resemble a spoiler, and this isn't considered a spoiler because the director is discussing it, that it is about an alien's view of Earth. When sent to Earth, an alien preys on unwary hitchhikers, set in Scotland, even a reference on the radio to the referendum. But if you don't know them...
If you're an alien, you're going to prey on hitchhikers, Scotland is the place to go.
You may very well be right. But, in fact, I listened to two critics on the BBC film programme last night say that this was a masterpiece, while even comparing it to Vertigo, which, in my opinion...
It's a bit rich, isn't it, really? I mean, not that I've got anything against, obviously, the notion of the master Alfred Hitchcock and so on, but surely Vertigo and Jimmy Stewart compared with Scarlett Johansson and Under the Skin, I would have thought that's perhaps a little bit in the realm of even greater hyperbole than I've been tempted to use at times.
Well, I mean, my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
I have to be frank. I mean, this is a movie that you'll either love or you'll hate. And
there
if I, when I didn't know that, in fact, it's about an alien, because it's only revealed climactically, but I now know that I should have known it, they might have made it clear in the film, because if you do avoid anything that has a spoiler in it when you go to see a movie, well, you won't know.
Doesn't that just make it a bit like Life Force, and indeed Species with Natasha Henstridge? Life Force, of course, with Matilda May. I just put that out there as a sort of possibility.
Neither film's...
Well, it's your loss, Richard. I'm sure you'll sort of access that on DVD. It's amazing. So, it's been Happy Novruz. It's been a positive line-up for the Oscars. It's been a thumbs down, probably for 300. It's been very much okay for Under the Skin, I feel. Rachel, have you been moved to see any of the sort of recommendations that Richard has put forward today? Or will you say, no, it's going to be RoboCop and The Book Thief for me?
I'm afraid not. I don't think this Under the Skin thing... No, 300 wasn't a fan of the other one. So, yeah.
But, of course, make your own mind up. You know, we can only put the stuff out there. At the end of the day, it's up to the listener to decide, is this going to move through, etc. I mean, clearly we haven't got... Well, not as yet. We may well have the level of influence that actually means that Hollywood studios are beating a path through our door to actually say, please, please, please get Richard Fitzwilliams to give us a good review on this. Otherwise, we're just disaster.
Well, I suppose if you look at the camera work in Under the Skin, and I know what it's about, I can appreciate aspects of it that... Well, I was not unnaturally puzzled, since there were no clues.
There we are. Okay, then. Last two questions on this Happy Novruz Day for Richard Fitzwilliams.
Okay, right. Well, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this morning, Richard?
I have, most certainly.
Oh, good, good. And can we look forward to talking to you again next week?
Indeed you can.
Good.
It don't matter to me if you really feel that way.
need some time to be free, time to go out searching for yourself.